It was September 22nd, 1964, in Imperial Theater, that the play The Fiddler on the Roof had its first debut production. It is a story about hiring a matchmaker to find husbands for their five daughters, which later became a movie in 1971 and has since been reproduced several different times. And in this story, the pious dairyman asks his wife if she loves him. And here was her response in that play and also in the movie when he asked his wife if she loved him. "For 25 years I have washed your clothes, cooked your meals, cleaned your house, giving you children, and even milked the cow. After 25 years, why talk about love right now?" And then she asked herself the question, "Do I love him? For 25 years I have lived with him, fought him, starved with him. 25 years I've shared the bed with him. If that's not love, what is love?" Now, love is not what is said, but love is what is done.
Amen.
He shouldn't have had to ask the question. He should have already done it after 25 years. Love. L-O-V-E. Does the Lord know that we love him? Count back, you may have been saved for 20 years. Does the Lord have to ask you, do you love him? You may have been saved for 50 years. Does the Lord have to day by day ask you, do you love him? It's easy to say that we love him, but saying it doesn't mean that we love him. The Bible says several things about our love for Christ in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 5. It's very clear. It talks about our love for Christ. It tells us how we ought to love him and who he is. Then in Psalm 31, verse 23, it tells of our love for Christ and what Christ has done for us. It says to love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. And I'm afraid that we're not listening. But I want to key in on one verse this morning, one simple verse, found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 in verse number 22. Now here's what he said. "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha." Now listen very carefully. "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ." Now there's a purpose for all three names to be there. You've got to love him as your Lord. You've got to love him as Jesus. And you've got to love him as Christ.
Amen.
You know, he's got to be our Lord. We love him for that. He's our Jesus. We love him for that. And he's our Christ. But in simple terms, he says, if a man love not Christ. In Paul's closing words, he gives us a hard warning. It's a warning about our love for Christ. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Those who blaspheme the Lord, those who profess with a mouth, but there is no love in the heart. Do you really love the Lord Jesus Christ? And people say, "Oh yes, praise God. Yeah, I really love Jesus. Yeah, he saved me one day." We can shout behind heaven and say, "Yes, I really love Jesus." But let me ask you this. Does your life back up that you love Jesus? Does your lips back up that you love Jesus? It is more than sitting on a pew on a Sunday morning singing and talking and telling everybody about our love for Christ. It is a day by day living out our love for Christ.
Amen.
Do we love Christ? There's going to be a lot of Cedar Grove folks standing before the Lord who's going to be turned away one day because of their phoniness, because they really never loved the Lord to start with.
Amen.
Now, let's think about it. Let's think about it for a moment. Out of this one verse, let me show you a couple of things. I believe if you love the Lord with all your heart and your soul and your mind, that you will be faithful.
Amen.
You're going to be faithful. You say, how do I know I love the Lord? Well, you're going to be faithful. We're going to hold on to Him as a drowning man. You know what? Not around the waist. No. If you're drowning, you're underwater down at the waist. You're going to hang on to Him around the neck. You're going to put your arms around the neck, for you know that every time that water splashes in your face, it can't get to you as long as you're holding around His neck. Let me tell you, every dart the devil shoots, everything that comes your way, when you're in love with Christ, you're holding Him around the neck, and bless God, you will not be defeated. We act like we're defeated. Bless God, hang on to Him around your neck. Put your arms around His neck. He'll put His arms around your neck. And guess what? You'll be just fine in the end.
Hey.
We'll be faithful. We'll be faithful. And how will you be faithful? Let me tell you this. You'll be faithful in your worship. You'll give the Lord your time when it comes to worship. Listen. If you love the Lord, you'll have a desire to gather where His people are in worship to Him. And I realize that we've got some that think all that's important is Sunday school. I will tell you right now that Sunday school is an important outreach arm of our church. It's where we come and our children are taught, our adults grow in Christ. But let me tell you one thing, sitting in a Sunday school room is not worship.
Amen.
This is where we come together and worship. This is where we come in here and Brother Tim leads us in praise to the Lord like we've done this morning. This is worship. And if you really love the Lord, you'll want to worship Him every opportunity that the doors are open. Bless God, the people of God will gather in the house of God.
Amen.
You'll be faithful. If you really love the Lord, folks say, well, I really love Christ, but I just don't feel led to go to church. There's something wrong with that. Christ died that we might be a part of the church.
Amen.
And I am a part of the church not because I'm a Baptist and not because I've been baptized. I'm a part of the church because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that blood,
Amen.
He lifted me up and
Amen.
Set my feet on solid rock, and every opportunity I get, and say, thank you, Jesus,
Amen.
For saving a wretch like me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
You'll be faithful.
Hallelujah.
And we won't have to sit on your doorstep to keep you in church. God, listen. Those who's not able to come ought to be ministered to. Those that can come ought to get off their rear end and come. And we shouldn't have to sit at your doorstep. If I have to come visit you every week to keep you in church, that's preacher religion and not salvation.
Amen.
We ought to be faithful when it comes to the house of God. Don't scream how much you love Jesus if you only hit the church building ever so often. And if you only come to worship to get a cemetery plot out in our cemetery, that's the wrong reason. You come to church because Jesus Christ has saved your soul.
Amen.
It ain't gonna happen. When you die, it really ain't gonna matter where we put the remains of you anyway. Your decision's already gonna be decided. You're gonna be in heaven or hell. We will be faithful if we love the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll gather with the people of God. Listen. In the presence of God. And you'll grab hold of the power of God. You'll string you love the Lord. But if you never come to church, then I have a problem with your love for the Lord. Or to be faithful in worship. When God's put you where you know he wants you to be, then God's led you into his church, number one, by salvation. God sends you to the right church house that you believe this is where God wants you to fulfill your term down here, time out down here while you're living on this earth. Then you ought to be faithful to the church house. You ought to support it every chance that you get a check. You ought to be here with bells on, ready to sing songs about the Lord. And you ought to be here ready to praise the Lord. This could be my last service down here. And bless God, I want to get ready for the service up there.
Amen.
So if you're not faithful to the church, you could not love the Lord Jesus Christ. There's too many people playing games when it comes to church.
Amen, brother.
They feel like it is. It is easy to come to Christ. You know, when you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. He moves in our heart, saves our soul. But some folks feel like, well, because of that, we can hit the church every once in a while, every 6 months, every quarter, and we're okay. That's not standard. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together like the manner of some. It's good when God's people come together under the same umbrella in worship.
Amen.
Sunday morning crowd screams, woo! We love the Lord. Sunday night crowd says, we love the Lord. The wings in that crowd says, we love the Lord. What's happening? Jesus is just as real on Sunday night and Wednesday night as he is on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Jesus is just as alive on Sunday night and Wednesday night as he is on Sunday morning. Thank God on Wednesday night for all you workers with Awanas. And God's doing a work in our Awanas. Children are coming to know Christ through our Awanas. A lot of you don't know that, but I'm going to tell you one thing. If you're not part of the Awanas stuff and all that's going on with our youth and all that, God is blessing on Wednesday night when some of you don't even know what God's doing on Wednesday night. You think? You don't love the Lord. If we have to stay after you to keep you in church, a person who loves the Lord Jesus Christ can't wait till the Lord's day rolls around.
Amen.
God's been saving some folks in our church. Listen, we've got 12 waiting baptism in a couple of weeks. And if anything ought to want to bring you to the church house, that ought to bring you to the church house where you want to see who God saves next. Be faithful in your worship. It'll show up where your heart is. If you went to work like some of you come to church, you'd have been in the unemployment line a long time ago.
Amen.
And stop and understand something. You have nothing without Christ. You'll be nothing without Christ. Everything you have is provided by Christ. And so let me tell you something. When the doors swing open, you are to step inside of
them. Amen.
Now let me throw you a little secret on you. There's something else on this thing. You can come to church every time the doors are open and never really worship. That's right. You can come here and you can be set in your ways and God can speak to everybody else. You'll say, he's not speaking to me. You know why he's not speaking to you? It's because you're too nosy in everybody else's business instead of letting God tell you what's wrong in your life.
Come on, brother.
A lot of people come to church when they don't worship. You know how you know when you worship? When you feel goosebumps running down your spine. You know how you worship? When you can't help but feel something tingling inside. Listen, you may not have it this morning. I do, because I know what, without a shadow of a doubt, I know without a shadow of a doubt that God put this series of worship together this morning.
Amen.
Without a shadow of a doubt. I didn't tell people, they didn't know what I was preaching. Everything fell in line to exactly what I'm saying right now. You can't, God can't speak if he can't find you. And listen, if he's so good and so great, then why in the world do we give him half-hearted service and worship?
Come on, brother. Preach it.
You will be faithful. If any man love not the Lord, if you show up occasionally at church, you may not love the Lord. If you only show up at Christmas and Easter, you may not love the Lord. Let me remind you something. Christmas brought him into this world. Easter brought him out of that grave. Because he came into this world, and he came out of that grave. He's alive and needs our worship. Hey. All those other Sundays in between.
Amen, brother.
It's amazing. We put him in the manger at Christmas. We put him in the tomb at Easter. We fill the place up. We celebrate that he's alive. We put him back in the tomb after Easter is over. And we wait to put him back in the manger on Christmas. Jesus Christ deserves our worship every single day of the year.
Amen.
Now tonight I'm preaching about some super stuff. I'm for the Super Bowl. If you're not here today, tonight, we've got it set up. I've got folks. We're bringing cell phones into this sanctuary. And we're going to call every one of you who are sitting in front of that TV. So you're going to listen to what the preacher's going to say tonight, whether you want to or not. There is some super stuff. And I'm going to tell you one thing. The super stuff that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ is a whole lot more super than running that football up and down that ball field tonight. I'm a sports fan. I'll watch it when I get done. But I will tell you something. Whatever that scoreboard says at the end of that ball game won't keep me in that, don't get me into heaven or keep me from hell. But the scoreboard at the end of my life will tell me where I'm going to spend eternity. And so I want you to be here. We will worship. Where is your heart? It'll involve our worship. But you'll also be faithful in your worship of you. It's not always going to church that matters, just primarily, it's also giving to church. Now I'm going to make a still statement probably, and some of you are going to run out and get mad, but that's all right. If you don't give to the support of the church, then you ought not be allowed to say how we spend the money in God's
Amen.
Church.
Amen, brother.
The people who holler the most are the ones who give the least. You say, how do you know? You check things? I've never checked anything. Don't want to know. Don't care about it. It's not my business. That's between you and God. And I will say this. If you're holding your money back from God for whatever reason, you think you want to hold your money back from God, that you're trying to hurt the church, and you might be holding money back and saying, I just don't want to give to that. I'm not going to give because of this and don't give that. You think you're hurting the church, you may be hurting the church, but I'm going to tell you who you're hurting the most. You're hurting yourself.
Right. Amen.
For God's going to get his money. Right. What belongs to God ought to come to God. And you don't realize it in Cedar Grove that everybody gave just to God what belongs to God. We'd never have one heartache, one fear. We'd never have anything to worry about. You know why? We'd have more than what we need to do everything that we need to do. And I realize every church around us is struggling right now, money-wise. Every church is struggling. But I'll tell you one thing. God is not a God that ordered just him. God's a God that ordered giving the best of what we've got.
Amen.
So what we have sometime in the church, we have the crowd who comes to Sunday school who eats of the appetizer and leave before the meal. How many restaurants you sit out in? You're going to eat the appetizer and leave before the meal comes? No way. I'm going to sit there and eat my appetizer. I'm going to eat my meal. And then I'm going to say, what's for dessert? And if there's a still empty spot in me, I'm going to find my start over, all the way over again. But you know what I'm going to do when I get up and leave that place? I'm going to pay the bill. And if that waitress or waiter has been good to me, I'm going to give them a little bit extra. Can I tell you something? When you're being fed from God's word and God's doing something in your heart, you ought to give to God what belongs to God.
Hey.
And you ought not want your church to suffer because of your childish thinking and your childish way.
Amen. Read your brother. Mm.
We give to the Lord. If we love the Lord. If you don't give to the Lord, you don't love the Lord.
Amen.
You're going to give by going. You're going to be faithful to your giving and going. But there's another thing. Your time, your talents, you're going to be willing to use your talents for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can play an instrument, don't play an instrument, shame on you. Hey, this is not a jealousy thing. This is not a thing where we just got our set once. I'm going to tell you one thing. If a person ever has a talent from God, you ought to be willing to use your talent for God. And if you're doing it to please some man, you're doing it for the wrong reason. If you can sing, you ought to stand up here and sing.
Amen.
God has put everything. anything together in our church that we need to worship Him, we just ought to use everything we've got to worship Him.
Amen, brother.
Every person.
Preach it, brother. Good preaching.
You know, think about it. And it's a shame and disgrace when we stand up to sing. Some of you don't even sing whatsoever. And I'll guarantee you, riding down the road in your car, when your radio's on, you sing to some of those songs that you sing. You sing to some of those songs you listen to. I can tell you. Listen. My granddaughter, 3 years of age, she'll get in the car with us. And I know what her mama's been listening to. You don't have to ask them. Well, you can ask. 3 year old, tell you everything. When she starts singing Red Solo Cup, lift me up, let's have a party. And she knows the words of that song 3 years old. She's heard that song a time or two. And I know some of you sing, but what happens when we get together? There's enough people in here, if everybody would sing, we could just about lift this roof in our worship of the Lord. You're waiting on a handful to do it for you. Shame on you. God didn't say they're going to do it for you. God said everybody ought to get involved. Everybody that rides by Center Grove on a Sunday morning ought to be able to hear our praise and our worship on the outside of this building. We're not far off of 20. They ought to be able to hear us praising our Lord. It may won't make somebody want to stop and see what's going on here on the inside. You see a crowd of cars in the parking lot? You hear a noise coming from a building, people's going to stop because they're going to think something's going on good, or there's one big fight, and they won't see what's going on. You know what? If you love the Lord, you're going to do the simple things. You're going to do the simple thing. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, can I tell you when you don't love the Lord? I'm not a fruit inspector. I can tell you when you don't love the Lord. When you're not faithful to Him. Then there's another thing. He says in this verse, it let him be anathema, maranatha. You say, what in the world? Here's what he's saying. If you love the Lord, you'll be faithful, but you'll also be fruitful. Some fruit will show up ever so often. Some fruit will show up. I think many of us are doing the right things. I really do. I think we're doing the good things, but we're not doing it because of love. And if we're not doing it because of love, then we have no fruit from it. Listen very carefully. Do you teach a Sunday school class out of obligation? Or do you teach it because your heart's in it? If you're teaching out of obligation, then you're not doing it because you love the folks in that classroom. You're doing it because you feel like nobody else will do it. Church, this thing of not nobody else are doing it has taken the love of Christ out.
That's right. Come on, brother.
And listen, if you're singing the choir out of obligation and you don't sing because you love the Lord and want to use your talents, then why stand up here and put on a show? It's not for show. It is for praise to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's not about who can sing a little bit better than the other. It's about putting all of our voices together. And when we put our voices together, sometimes even a bad racket sounds pretty good.
Hey,
we're doing things the wrong reasons. We're doing it because of man and not because of Christ. What we do, we've got to do it because we love Christ. I don't care if it's taking up offering. Put these guys coming down this aisle taking up offering. I don't care what it is. You've got to do it because you love Christ. The reason that people are sitting back here, go out this door in the last room on the right, back here in this nursery changing diapers and doing all these things. You know the reason people are doing that? Because so that young couples can sit in this sanctuary and hear about Christ.
Amen.
I do it because we love Christ. You will not be faithful, nor will you be fruitful, if you do not love and follow your Christ. You know how we ought to follow Christ? Like the blind man does his cane. He don't know where to go from here, so he follows that cane. That's the way we ought to follow Christ. You know how we ought to follow Christ? Like the blind man does his seeing eye dog. He has that dog. He relies on that dog. You remember the article of the guy in Anderson who was blind, who walked every day down those busy streets of Clemson Boulevard. You know what he did? He depended on that dog. Church, let tell you something. We've got to have an ultimate dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to follow Christ. And you do not love him unless you do.
Amen.
And if you do not love the Lord, you'll not be faithful or fruitful. I'm going to say a statement now that some of you probably are going to disagree with. But listen very carefully. If you don't 100% love the Lord, then you don't need to visit folks and tell folks how good the Lord is. When you love the Lord 100%, you're so excited to tell people about Christ that you'll tell them how wonderful he is. You won't sit there and downplay your church. I know some folks go visit and they'll sit down there and run down their church. Let me tell you something. You are a bad testimony to Christ, number one, and to his church, number two. You're loved. But then he throws this out. Let him be anathema. You know what that means? He will be cursed and sown. Maranatha means the Lord's coming. You know what he's saying? If you don't love Christ, you will be sent away at the Lord's coming. That's what he says. So in other words, you can sit in a sanctuary like this with beautiful chandeliers and beautiful surroundings and not love the Lord. And when Christ comes back, if there's no love in your heart for Christ, then that means you haven't accepted Christ. And if you haven't accepted Christ, guess what? You will be sent away. If Christ is in you, you will love Christ. And if you love Christ, he is in you.
Amen.
We're not as bad about it as we used to be, but I'm going to go ahead and say what I think. You can trip over all your Sunday school pins and die and go to hell. You remember when we were so hung up with Sunday school pins? That's wonderful. If you're faithful in Sunday school every time, that's good. But people were more concerned about getting those pins and hanging them all down their front than they were being faithful to the Lord. Let me tell you something. You can trip over your pins and still go to hell. It's about your love for Christ. And let me tell you something that you don't believe. You can die, go to hell, be in a church. I think a lot of people are in church because grandma and grandpa and mom and dad went to church, and so they just followed in the trail. They've never had a heart change and experience with Christ. You can be a good person and not know Christ and be sent away when Christ comes. I'm telling you, this is serious.
Yes.
With all the divisions, disorders, and doubts, the last final words of here, he reminds them the Lord is coming. You hear that air kick on? Because there's one in this building. Let me tell you something. If you die without Christ, there'll be no air. You know what the wonderful thing is? And I didn't put it on the screen, but here, let me close with it. Let me tell you something. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, then if he don't love Christ, he's not faithful, nor is he fruitful. And when Christ comes, he will be pushed aside and sent away. But you know what? The Lord did. I love the way the Lord does things. He didn't leave it hanging right there. Here's what he said in the very next verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Now what I get out of that is, aren't you thankful that there's grace? Aren't you glad there's grace? Grace, mercy. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, now I'm found. Was blind, now I see. If you die, go to hell from this sanctuary this morning. You're choosing on your own to die and go to hell from the sanctuary this morning. And honestly, if you die and go to hell this morning from this sanctuary, your blood will be on my hands. Because I told you, it's not about church membership. It's not about teaching Sunday school. It's not about even singing in the choir. And it's not even about giving you money. No, no, no. It's about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is right in all those areas, then you'll do all those other things.
Amen.